Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship on the ninth Sunday after Pentecost on this beautiful day that God has given us. We're glad that you're here today. If you haven't signed the guest register, I'd ask you to do that so that we can acknowledge you, especially if you're a guest worshiping with us today. We welcome those that are here and those that are online as well. All the announcements are on the insert today. We thank Charlie for singing today and sharing his talents with Michael, so we're looking forward to that as we do that. Lunch Bunch is this Wednesday. You bring your lunch, drinks and dessert are provided. On the back are things that are coming up, so please note. So the bottom one is about on the 24th. We have the lemonade cookies thing after church. Our new choir director, Tony, will be here that day and be like a meet and greet after church, so you'll have an opportunity to meet him. So please, if you can have cookies, please take note of that. Then there's an opportunity to volunteer for the Henry Hosea House and let Pat know, and then the Chosen, all those Saturdays that those sessions will be meeting. So please take note of all those things as we move forward into the fall and we get through this summer. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. We have come today to worship the giver of life. We have come this day to give thanks to the creator of all. We have come today to worship Jesus who gave his life for us. We have come this day to sing praises to our risen Savior. We have come this day to worship the God who loves. Come, let us worship in spirit and in truth and in love. Let us worship our God who has given us all these gifts. please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Dear God, we are overwhelmed by the many ways you show us your love. We hear it in the laughter of children, and we feel it in a hug of the loved one. Scripture tells us you have every hair on our head counted. Because of your love, we ask you to hear our prayers and answer them. Bring peace to our world so all soldiers can safely come home. Guide those who have decisions weighing on their hearts. Bring wholeness to those whose lives are in strife. Heal those who need your special touch. Touch all of our lives so we can be extravagant givers in your name. Dear Lord, so often we are takers instead of givers. We hoard all we can, fearful of what might happen in the future. We live by fear instead of faith. Help us to learn from our ancestors of faith and trust that you want to be part of our lives, guiding and leading us in the ways we should walk. Forgive our unbelief. Help us to believe. Amen.
Hear the good news. Remember that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. We can therefore look forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. For by the faith of Jesus, the cornerstone, we are forgiven. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
First scripture reading comes from the poetry of the Old Testament, Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Our second scripture reading comes from the letters of the entire church, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, 8 through 16. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had promised as a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that was found, that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
Christian in my
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. A good old hymn, most of us could sing along with him. We probably know all the words. Our text today, a gospel text, is from the Gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter, verses 32 to 40. Let me get it out of here. And so we have Jesus talking to the disciples and to the people, and he's preaching to them a little bit about what's going on. And he tells this little story about the watchful slaves, of how it reminds us of what we talk about during Advent, where we need to be alert and to be watching and to be waiting. So listen to these words from Luke. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. And truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt, have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my question for you today is, have you ever received a gift from someone that sort of blew you away? A gift so generous that it took you by surprise. There was a story shared some years ago in my sermon study group about a friend of one of the ministers. And it was a friend who had worked and saved all of her money to be able to fly to audition for a music school that she dreamed of attending. And the day came for her audition, and she drove to the airport, took the plane she needed, hired a taxi cab that was more expensive than she was expecting. This was back in the day when you still had cabs, not Uber and Lyft. And she got to school on time. She had this wonderful audition. And after the audition, she took the taxi back to the airport, and due to a mix-up on her ticket, an extra fee had been applied. She was short of the money to be able to fly home. She tried to no avail to get them to waive the fee, to let her fly home where she would get someone to meet her there with the money. And this took place before, you know, students could have credit cards or even prior to cell phones at that point. And so she would, or she could have them mail the money after she got back home. Nothing worked. They wouldn't let her on a plane. So she left the counter. She's sitting on a bench, and she's sitting there crying when a man asked her what was wrong. She told him her predicament, and he gave her the money to fly home. Simply gave her the money. She was accepted into the school, got the scholarship, earned her college degree there. To this day, she remembers the stranger who freely gave her this money to go home. Have you ever experienced generosity like that? Some years ago, I was approached at a meeting about they were raising money for students able to go to school in Liberia. And what happened, it was very similar to things we do here, but one of the people were talking about that when they gave the money, one of the students in Liberia wrote them a thank you note, overwhelmed that a person she did not know was paying for her education, and that anyone would be that generous to her. I have a number of school teachers that have been in my parishes over the course of time, and I'm still sometimes, they ask, because teachers, you know, there's not enough money for scholastic stuff or for extra books, and so I know them to donate money. And just the other day, I got a thank you note from one of the students that wrote it at the end of the school year. They just finally coming through the mail. but to thank me for my donation so they could have a book every month to read. When I was in college, I received a gift like that. I got a call from the financial aid office to come over. I was questioned about my family, what my financial situation was. And at that point, I had no idea what my mom and dad made. That wasn't even part of my world. But it seemed I fit the qualifications for some monies and was also offered a part-time job in the alumni office. The monies weren't much, but they helped to defray some of the expenses. It wasn't repayable as long as my grades were kept up and I graduated. It was a generous gift. So what is our response? And what is your response when someone is that generous to you? Have you experienced that extravagant giving in your life or generosity? I'm talking over 50 years ago at this point, but the overwhelming feeling I had of someone who I did not know who gave the money, and they wouldn't tell me who it was so I could even write a thank you note. And so that's normally my response is when someone gifts me, I send them a note. And so what I've done when that's happened to me again, but quite not as much as that tuition piece, is that you try to, I think, what we now call pay it forward, that you share with other people, which is why I donate to scholarship stuff and to things for the kids that I know who people are still teaching. And you share what you have with others. So have you been extravagantly generous? Have you been the giver, maybe? I attended a meeting, middle 2000s, between around 2015, 14, somewhere in there, I attended a meeting. And there was a story shared about a 2008 Interfaith Council of Churches meeting that had taken place in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. And a Methodist minister, Karen Onesti, and she had been at that meeting, and she was a speaker at this meeting I was at. And she became aware there was a fellow by Andrew Bossoff, who was a rabbi. And he was there with progressive kidney failure. And he was on the waiting list for a kidney replacement, transplant. She offered him one of her kidneys. When she described the experience, she quoted from Romans 8:28, where it says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And then she said, "Both Andy and I love the Lord. We are called to do God's purposes." And then he says, this is not just our story. This is a story for all those people who have been giving before us and for those who gave the day after us and those who will give in the future, about just being generous. And the transplant was a success. But knowing all of those things, what we have to be reminded is what is really cool is that the kingdom of God is a gift. It's a gift freely given for anyone to accept and to anyone to use, but it's a gift that came at a price. So when you think about it, the man who gifted the money to the woman so she could fly home, you know, had to work to earn that money. The person who granted my grant had to get the money from somewhere to pay for my education. I had to work for the money that I give to give to other people as well. Reverend Onesti's gift came part of what she gave up was some part of her health and her body being a donor. So the gifts are freely given, but they come at a price. And we say in the U.S. that freedom isn't free because we realize of our sisters and brothers who are in the armed forces, who serve so that we can have worship the way we see fit, and to have the world in which we live here in the United States, and this freedom that we have. Jesus paid the price so that we might freely enjoy the kingdom of God, the realm of God, however we understand that. And we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Somehow along the line, you know, in our childhood, we sometimes figure we've learned this, that we have to do things to get things. And that's just part of the human condition. But this is an extravagant generosity of God. that the kingdom of heaven is here for us. And when you accept it, then you have to sort of refocus your lives on what we do, about how we live our lives. And the resources that we have, do we share what we have with others? Through the relationships that we have with other people, as we share the love of God with them, and however we do that. And no thief can steal that, you know, and take it away. I mean, because now if you understand the kingdom of heaven, we're looking forward to that day when we will all be together again. And use the phrase that we say, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will have that opportunity at some point. But the question that has to happen, and I was challenged with this some years ago. We were talking in a one-day retreat thing about, what is your treasure in life? What is important to you deep down? And I remember this person stood up and says, I want you to think about your checkbook and your calendar. Where do you spend most of your money? You know, if you go back and look at your transactions, how do you spend that? And if you look at your calendar, what is most important to you? What do you schedule? I always remember when I took my administration class in seminary, and the joke is always, get every denomination, no matter what it is, you get this fancy blank calendar. We just got ours here for the United Church of Christ. So when you get it, this teacher's professor said, when you get it, do you fill in all the church activities first and family gets what's left over? Or do you put some of your family stuff in there because that's important for your personal health? So on this retreat I was on, it says, so if you look at your finances and you look at your calendar, where is your talent and treasure? Where is it going? What is most important to you? What do you focus your time and money on? That's what your treasure is. And it's different for all of us. Depends on what we think and what we do. And so I think this text is challenging. Jesus says, you know, what are you saving up for? What are you doing? What is important in your life? Do we give to the church? Do we give to those in need? Do we take care of people in our community, our families, our neighbors, whoever? You know, are we an extravagant giver? But most importantly, are we able to accept extravagant giving as well? Because that's hard. I know it's hard for me to accept things. Probably is for you as well. But we're also able to give to those in need. So we're challenged as Christians in the service to the Lord to give from our hearts and our minds, and to be that extravagant giver. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand and let us affirm our faith today as we use this affirmation based on Colossians 1, 15 to 20, and stay standing for our hymn. So let us affirm our faith together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything Christ might be preeminent. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ all things are reconciled to God, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ's cross. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be shared with this community of faith this morning? If not, continue to remember in the bulletin, you'll see there are prayer concerns for individuals and situations that are prayed every day for with our prayer group. And those are to remind us, there's the homebound of the week, to send them a card with that address if you can do that and let them know that they're being thought of. There's also birthdays and anniversaries listed as they come up as well. I got a text from Jean Nutgrass, who sings in our choir, and Jean's been asking prayers for her father-in-law over the course of time. And he passed away yesterday morning. And he had been on leukemia, and he had quit his treatments, and he'd been on hospice care, and she was asking this week for us to pray. So her husband Andy, it's his dad, and her mother-in-law Donnie are grieving pretty well, and we'll have more details as things move through, but to continue to pray for that family, the Nutgrass family, during this loss. There are also the good things. You know, we have those birthdays and anniversaries. Things just pop up. For instance, my youngest granddaughter was in town this weekend, and all of a sudden there's a picture that was floating around from years ago that was just shared with my wife's family. And all of a sudden, we're going to all get together for supper this evening. It's because there's some people that are in town that are not besides my granddaughter. And so it's just an opportunity. It was a surprise gathering. And so those things happen, and that makes it life so much fuller that, you know, we can do that. So celebrate life with those around us. There's always things going on in the world that we have to be aware of, whether we agree or disagree, or whether we don't know what's going on. We need to pray, you know, for everything that's going on in the world, especially for the leaders of the country. There's a lot of decisive actions taking place, some that we're not understanding. But we need to pray that people can somehow get along, make some proper decisions in this world, as well as those things that might lay upon your individual hearts that we don't talk about, you know. Whether we're hurting or whether we're in pain or we're getting ready for surgery or recovering from surgery or struggling with some kind of medical condition. But continue to pray for all. So let's assume an attitude of prayer. And as we do that, I'm going to ask us to center ourselves down and to take a deep breath and then let it out and breathe in God and breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in God. Breathe out. Breathe in the Spirit. Breathe out. Almighty God, you are the God of wisdom, the God of righteousness, the God of grace. And we are overcome by the generosity of the benefits you have bestowed upon us. And then we are reminded that in and through the prophets and through your Son Jesus the Christ, you remind us that you have given us these gifts. You use our talents, you use our mind, you use our money. You'll allow us to share the good news with those around us. But most importantly, we live in your grace that allows us to do those things. We heard about the lamps today in Scripture. To be reminded that we're always trying to be ready for when your return will come. That we can welcome you as those slaves welcomed the bridegroom when he returned. That we can welcome your Son as he returns into this world. So allow our lamps to be bright. Allow the oil to be filled in the lamp. Allow us to be alert and aware of who and whose we are as we journey through this world. Allow us to be filled with your Spirit during this time of worship, that we could go forth and filled with that Spirit as we work through this coming week. The prophets stepped out sometimes in assurance of your presence with them. And we admit, oh God, sometimes we doubt about stepping out in assurance. But Abraham did not know where he was going, and he trusted God. So help us to understand that mentality, that we too can step forward into the unknown, that we can step forward to help others, that we can continue to be part of the process of building up the kingdom of God. We come into your care this day, O God, all those we have lifted, for those who are grieving and mourning, for those who are preparing for surgery, for situations throughout the world, for personal needs, whether they're emotional, physical. Be with us, struggle with us, be with those as we celebrate special occasions with friends and family, but be in all of those things that make life full. Share with us your spirit. But most of all, we thank you for the presence of your son, Jesus. And so we offer this prayer with a prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God's children to their promised land. Surely it will be those who have begun to live in the realm of God, who know God's mercy and remember God's benefits. To the extent that our offerings are generous, the church can be the yeast of God in a needy world. The ushers may now come forward.
To love with all my soul.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Thank you, God, for your extravagant generosity towards us. Everything we have is from you, our life, the earth, our families and friends, the gifts and talents we possess, the ability to use them to earn a living, and the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus. Teach us to be extravagant givers of your love. Bless these gifts we now give and use them to touch the lives of those who need extravagant givers in their lives. Amen. Today we were challenged to look at what we have and how we share it. So take time to look at what you have, how you share it, what do we share, what is important to us. But are we extravagant givers, and are we able to receive extravagant giving? God has blessed each one of us. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it so they too may come and understand the grounding that we have in the faith. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.